Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Amadeo, principal of the Amadeo Law Firm. Thanks for joining us today for our webinar covering the employee notifications under FAR and DFARS. Now, before we get started, I'll just say a few words about me and my law firm. So I've been practicing for over 20 years and am the founder of the Amadeo Law Firm. And the firm has locations in Washington, D.C. and in Maryland, and its primary focus is on federal government contracting. So we help our clients with all of their government contracting legal needs, and that includes negotiations with teaming partners, post-award negotiations with contracting officers, and general DFARS and FARS compliance. And we also help our clients protect their valuable technology in their dealings with government and private sector partners. So we'll provide you with my contact information at the end of the presentation. So if you have any questions on the information that I'm presenting today, feel free to reach out to me after the presentation. So today we're going to talk briefly about the employee notification requirements in FAR and DFARS. So when government contractors get their contracts or their funding agreements with FAR and DFARS clauses, apart from understanding what they have to do to comply with the substantive rules or requirements under the clauses, one thing that contractors need to get a handle on as soon as possible is the notification requirements in those clauses. Now, the one type of notification requirement that contractors may be most familiar with is the FAR and DFARS flowdown requirement. So to the extent that there's a flowdown provision in a FAR or DFARS clause that requires a contractor to flow down the clause to its subcontracts, inserting the clause into the subcontract implicitly puts the subcontractor on notice of those clauses and their requirements. Well, another category of notification requirement, which often gets overlooked, is the employee notification requirement. So there are over 30 different FAR and DFARS clauses that impose employer mandates on contractors and subcontractors. And these clauses require contractors and subcontractors to comply with certain requirements in connection with their role as employers. So for example, there are employer mandates prohibiting discrimination in employment and prohibiting retaliation against employee whistleblowers. But often contractors are so focused on the substantive requirements of these employer mandates and whatever it is that the clauses tell them that they can or can't do, that they overlook the notification requirements. So we'll take a closer look at some of the employee notification requirements throughout this presentation, but generally the notification requirements require contractors to put their employees on notice of the employer mandates that are contained in the clause. And although the focus of today is on the employee notification requirements, we're going to briefly list all or most of the employer mandates that are under FAR and DFARS, but we aren't going to discuss them in any detail. We'll save a detailed discussion of the employer mandates for a future webinar, perhaps. So the first set of employee notifications that we'll touch on today are the employee notice requirements under FAR's non-discrimination clauses. Now, FAR has a number of clauses that prohibit discrimination in hiring and employment, including discrimination against the hiring of veterans and workers with disabilities. There's also a FAR clause that prohibits a contractor from segregating its facilities on the basis of race, gender, and other attributes. But of these, it's the Equal Opportunity Clause at FAR 52.222-26 that contains the employee notice requirements. So FAR 52.222-26 is a clause that requires contractors to agree that they will not discriminate against employees or job applicants on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or national origin. And there are generally three kinds of employee notifications that contractors have to give their own employees under 52.222-26. So one category of notifications that contractors have to give are notices that are provided to the contractor by the contracting officer. And one notice is a notice that a contracting officer gives to the contractor that explains FAR 52.222-26. And that notice has to be posted in a conspicuous place that is available to employees and job applicants. Now, another notice that a contracting officer may give to a contractor is a notice that explains the contractor's commitments under FAR 52.222-26. And that notice is supposed to be sent to each labor union or a collective bargaining agreement representative. Now, in addition to sending the notice to a union or a collective bargaining agreement representative, the contractor also has to place this notice in a conspicuous place that's available to employees and job applicants. Now, another kind of notification that contractors have to give under FAR 52.222-26 is in the form of a statement that must be included in job advertisements and solicitations that says that all qualified applicants will be considered for employment without regard to race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or national origin. And the last kind of notification that contractors have to give under FAR 52.222-26 is a pay transparency notice that uses language provided by the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. And this pay transparency language informs employees that a contractor is prohibited from firing or discriminating against an employee or a job applicant simply because the employee or the job applicant asks about or discusses compensation that employees or the applicant will receive or that any other employee or job applicant will receive. And this pay transparency notice is supposed to be inserted into any employee manuals or handbooks, and it's supposed to be posted either electronically or posted physically in a conspicuous place that's available to employees and job applicants. So the rules under FAR imposes affirmative action requirements on construction contractors, as well as on contractors and subcontractors with more than 50 employees under contracts that exceed certain dollar thresholds. And these affirmative action requirements are aimed at increasing minority and female participation in the federal contractor workforce. And there are three FAR clauses that are related to these affirmative action requirements that potentially can be inserted into a government contract. And of these, it's the FAR clause at 52.222-27 that contains the employee notification requirements. So there are quite a number of affirmative action requirements for construction contractors. And again, we aren't going to go through all of them now, but for purposes of today's discussion, I'll just say that one of the requirements under 52.222-27 is that the contractor has to develop an equal employment policy. And the employee notice requirements under 52.222-27 describe the ways that the equal employment policy is supposed to be made available to employees. So one way it's supposed to be available is through a notice that's provided to unions and training, recruitment, and outreach programs. Now, contractors are also required to review the policy with management personnel, as well as with minority and female employees at least once a year. Now, contractors also have to post the policy on bulletin boards at each location where the construction work is performed. And they also have to review at least annually their equal employment policies and their affirmative action obligations with all employees that have responsibility for hiring or assignments or layoff, termination, or other employment decisions. And lastly, contractors have to review this policy with on-site supervisors before beginning construction work at a job site. So another category of FAR and DFARS clauses with employer mandates are clauses that are aimed at encouraging or requiring employees to engage or refrain from engaging in certain kinds of conduct or behavior. And in this category, it's the FAR clauses on drug-free workplace, ethics and conflicts of interest, and on combating human trafficking that contain employee notice provisions. So 52.2236 is a clause that requires contractors to maintain policies that will keep a drug-free workplace. And so one requirement is that within 30 days of contract award, the contractor has to publish a statement notifying employees that unlawful manufacture, distribution, dispensing, possession, or use of a controlled substance is prohibited in the workplace. So contractors have to provide the statement to workers that are expected to perform under the contract. And the statement that's provided to employees must state that as a condition of employment on the contract, the employee will comply with the terms of the statement and will notify the employer in writing within 5 days of the employee's conviction under a criminal drug statute. So there are two FAR clauses related to employee ethics that contractors have to keep their eyes out for in terms of employee notifications. 52.203-13 is another clause with pretty detailed requirements. And in particular, it has detailed requirements and controls that a contractor has to have in place to maintain business ethics and to prevent and detect criminal conduct. Now, again, we'll save the details for another webinar, but one of the requirements is that a contractor has to have a written code of business ethics and conduct. And for purposes of providing required notices to employees, within 30 days of contract award, the contractor has to make a copy of that code available to employees that are performing under the contract. Now, FAR Clause 52.203.16 is a clause that contains requirements that a contractor has to meet to detect, prevent, and disclose to the government any conflicts of interest that any of its employees may have. And like the FAR clause on business ethics, this clause also has fairly extensive requirements. So technically, there isn't an employee notice requirement under this clause, but as a practical matter, in order to comply with the clause, an employer is going to have to give some kind of notice to some of its employees. And that's because under the clause, the contractor has to obtain from any covered employee, and a covered employee is an employee that's going to be performing a government function under the contract. Well, the contractor has to obtain from any covered employee a disclosure of interests that may be affected by any tasks that the employee may be assigned under the contract. And a contract has to get this disclosure at the outset, when the employee is assigned a task. So contractors have to have their disclosure forms ready to go and to go out as soon as possible for employees to complete and return them. And then contractors then have to have procedures in place that require covered employees to update their disclosure statements anytime circumstances change that may give rise to a conflict with the task that they are performing. So again, as a practical matter, a contractor is going to have to put its employees on notice that they need to update their conflict forms in order to be compliant with this requirement. So FAR 52.22250 sets out obligations that contractors have with regard to the federal government's efforts to combat human trafficking, and includes a fairly detailed policy section that lists the kinds of actions and activities that government contractors and their employees are prohibited from engaging in connection with this fight against human trafficking. Now, as for employee notices, contractors are required to notify their employees of the government's policy against human trafficking. In other words, of the prohibitions that are set out in the FAR clause. And they also have to inform employees of the actions that would be taken against employees that violate the policy, which can include reductions in benefits and termination from employment. So there are two FAR clauses that contractors might find in their contracts that prohibit them from requiring employees to sign non-disclosure or confidentiality agreements that restrict an employee from lawfully reporting to the government any waste, fraud, or abuse that is related to a government contract. So it's to the extent that the contractor has already in place any agreements with its employees that are inconsistent with this prohibition or that may prevent them, prevent employees from reporting waste, fraud, or abuse, well, the clause at 52.203.19 requires a contractor to notify employees that the restrictions in those agreements are no longer in effect. So a federal government contract may include a FAR or DFARS clause that protects whistleblowers from retaliation, and which particular clause is inserted into the contract will depend on whether a contract is with a defense agency or a civilian government agency. So if a contract is funded by the Old Recovery Act that was passed under the Obama administration, and to be clear, relatively speaking, there may not be that many of these contracts that are lingering out there. But for those contracts that are still kicking around out there, they may have clause 52.203.15. Otherwise, a contract with a civilian agency may have clause 52.203.17, while a defense agency contract may have DFARS clause 252.203-7002. Now, as for the whistleblower protections, 52.203.15 refers to whistleblower protections under the Recovery Act, and 52.203-17 refers to whistleblower protections under the statute that covers government contracts generally. And the DFARS clause refers to the whistleblower protections under the statute that covers contract management for contracts with armed forces. So generally speaking, each of those three statutes prohibits a contractor from firing, demoting, or otherwise retaliating against a worker that reports gross mismanagement under a contract, gross waste of funds, an abuse of authority, or a violation of law or rule or regulation. And each statute includes procedures for handling whistleblower complaints and remedies for employees that believe they've been retaliated against. Now, as for notices that are required to be provided to employees, under 52.203-15, contractors have to post a notice that informs employees of their whistleblower rights and remedies, while under 52.203.17 and under the DFARS clause, contractors have to inform employees in writing and in the predominant language of the workforce of the whistleblower rights and protections under the respective whistleblower statutes. So this slide lists the FAR clauses that contain employer mandates on worker hours, as well as on minimum wages and benefits that must be paid to contractor employees. And it's the last of these three that are listed there that contain employee notice requirements. So 52.222-41 is the contract clause that incorporates the requirements under the Service Contract Act. And the Service Contract Act requires contractors to pay service employees minimum wages and benefits that are prevailing in their locality as determined by the U.S. Department of Labor. And under 52.222-41, the DOL minimum wage and benefits are specified in an attachment to the contract. So service employees that perform under contracts or subcontracts under the contract are supposed to be paid at a minimum the wages and benefits that are set out in these DOL wage determinations. Now, under 52.222-55, this is the FAR clause that implements the default minimum wage for federal government contractors under Executive Order 14026 that typically apply when there are no DOL wage rate determinations. And 52.222-62 is the FAR clause that implements an executive order requiring contractors to provide a minimum level of paid sick leave to its employees. Now, as far as the employee notices go, 52.222-41 requires the contractor to either notify workers of the minimum wage and fringe benefits or to post the DOL wage determination that's attached to the contract. And it also requires contractors to put up a DOL poster that informs them of their rights to receive minimum wage and benefits. Now, FAR Clause 52.222-55 is partially redundant and likewise requires contractors to notify employees of the minimum wage for federal contractor employees. And if they can meet this requirement, and they can meet this requirement by posting the DOL wage rate determinations for workers that are covered by the service contract labor standards or the construction wage rate requirements. And for workers that are covered by the Fair Labor Standards Act, they can meet this requirement by posting DOL's poster on minimum wages under the FLSA. Now, if a contractor customarily posts employee notices electronically, it can post these notices electronically as well, provided that the electronic posting is displayed prominently on a website that's customarily used for employee notices on terms and conditions of employment. Now, lastly, 52.222-62 requires contractors to post DOL's notice on paid sick leave in a prominent place that can be readily seen. And again, if a contractor customarily posts notices electronically, it can post the notice on a contractor website that's customarily used for employee notices on terms and conditions of employment. Now, there are a number of FAR and DFARS clauses with requirements or restrictions on hiring employees, and they're listed up there on the slide, but none of these mandates include an employee notice provision. Now, there are three other kinds of employee notices that don't seem to fall in any of the categories that we've grouped them under. So the first two are hotline posters that are required to be posted under FAR and DFARS. So the FAR clause requires any agency fraud hotline posters and any Department of Homeland Security fraud hotline posters that are identified by the contracting officer to be posted in common work areas. And if the contractor maintains a website for providing information to employees, it must post these hotline posters there too. And lastly, under the FAR clause, if the contractor maintains a business ethics and a business ethics and conduct awareness program with a reporting mechanism, it doesn't need to post the agency hotline posters, but it will still have to post any DHS hotline posters that are required by the contracting officer. Now, under the DFARS clause, the contractor has to post in common work areas the DOD fraud, waste, and abuse hotline poster that's prepared by the DOD Office of Inspector General. And if a significant portion of the workforce does not speak English, then the poster must be in a foreign languages that significant numbers of employees speak. And if the contractor maintains a website for providing information to employees, it must put up the poster there. Now, if a contractor is outside of the U.S. And there are security concerns in connection with displaying public posters, then the contractor can give employees information on reporting fraud, waste, and abuse by providing private instructions or briefings. And then lastly, if any DoD contracts are also funded by the Department of Homeland Security's disaster relief funds, and the contract is performed in the U.S., well, the contractor must also display the DHS fraud hotline posters. So the last notice that we'll touch on today is the notification of employee NLRA rights. That's required under FAR Clause 52.222-40. So under this clause, contractors have to display a notice that's formulated by the Department of Labor in conspicuous places where employee notices are posted physically and electronically, and in languages that employees speak. So the last point I want to make is one that may be obvious, and that is that the type of employee notices that contractors or subcontractors give to their employees is going to depend on the actual FAR and DFARS clauses that are inserted into their contracts. So not all of the notices that we've gone over in this presentation may be required to be provided in every instance. So again, at the outset of contract administration, when contractors and subcontractors are taking a look at their FAR and DFARS clauses to get ready for compliance or to prepare their flowdown addendums, contractors and subcontractors should also examine the clauses carefully to see which notices have to be provided to employees that are working under the contract. Well, that's all I have for my presentation today. I want to thank everyone who joined in or is listening in. And if you have any questions on anything that was presented, my contact information is up there on the slide. So feel free to reach out and send along any questions.